Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you joined me today. Hey, I'm still out on the road, Sue and I, away from home for just a few days, taking a break, taking a rest, and also praying for a longtime friend in Gainesville, Florida, who was recently diagnosed with cancer. And so I'm here in a hotel room, just sharing with you things that are stirring in my mind and heart, and things that seem to be stirring out there, at least in some sectors of the body of Christ as well. The last couple of days I've talked about prophetic ministry. I don't want to talk about that a little bit more today and bring some insights that I think that can help us negotiate our way through so much that is happening in the church world today, and that is happening among charismatics and so-called revival movements, which they may be for real and genuine, and in what's called the prophetic movement. You know, the word prophetic, as an adjective, it is not found in the New Testament. And I'm not familiar with that word being used until just in recent years. But now it has become very popular. Everything is described as prophetic. Got prophetic preaching, prophetic intercession, prophetic singing, prophetic worship, prophetic art. it has become a buzzword that is used, you know, applying to just about everything. Now, a lot of things, I grew up in a church that was very committed and open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in all of his ways, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, ministry of the Holy Spirit. What people call prophetic today, we called it a move of the Holy Spirit. We would call it maybe a manifestation of the Holy Spirit or a move of the Holy Spirit. And so the same things that we would call a move of the Holy Spirit, it is called prophetic today. And in my estimation, it is very much overdone. And, you know, it's like the cool thing is to describe your ministry as a prophetic ministry. And whatever you're doing, it is prophetic. So that's well and good, no problem, but just realize what is going on, that this is something that has become faddish, culturally popular and faddish, and so don't be overawed by somebody who uses the word prophetic. Now, a couple of things I want to mention about prophecy today, about the modern prophetic and so on, and some things to be alert for and to be cautious about. And this is when, and we have to be careful of ourselves that we don't do this, but when somebody begins to use prophecy to try and control other people's lives, that person, you need to get away from that person or either confront them or whatever. And this happens. People will use prophecy to try and control other people's lives. Now, I'm going to give you an example that just comes to my mind. This is before I ever met Sue. Sue and I will be married, let's see, I think it's 47 years this May, May 17th. And so this was before I met Sue. And I was a very young in the faith. And I was playing guitar with a singing group that was associated with the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And on the weekends, we would travel around to churches, and they would sing and so on. And sometimes my brother would go along. I played lead guitar. My brother and I would sing together. At that time, I was very quiet and shy. I never talked. I never said anything. When my brother and I sang, he did all of the talking. But God knows how to change people. And now, as you know, doing these podcasts, I struggle to find a place to stop. It would be so easy just to keep going and going. But we're talking about how people will use prophecy, sometimes innocently, to try to control a situation or control somebody else. And so there was a woman who came to the singing in this church that night. This is a small church in a small Oklahoma town, but it was packed out. It was full of people. And how many people? Well, I'm going to say it was just a small wood frame building. I would say that it would probably seat maybe 80 people, So there could have been 100 people there tonight because it was very, very crowded. And there was a woman, as far as I know, she attended that church. She was from that little town. And her unsaved husband had come with her that night. And so there was a move of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if it was the person who was the leader of the singing group, or if it was that the local pastor gave an invitation. And I'm sitting there watching. I just happened to see this woman, and she is very emotionally moved. There are tears, and she's praising God and calling out to God with great passion, and there are tears and so on. Her husband, who I perceived was not a believer, he was just sitting there stoic, unmoved, just looking straight ahead, not moved or anything, and he did not respond to the singing that night. And I got a feeling that the sense that she had brought him along, and he had come just because it was a singing, and he probably liked music, and it wasn't a regular service. However, even though I am very young in the faith, never been to Bible school yet, this woman, in the midst of this, she brings forth a prophecy. And it's about a person there who is this, he's getting his final call. And even though I am so young in the faith, I had this very distinct sense inside that that was not from the Spirit of God. But she was moved by her emotions. And I would say she probably thought it was the Spirit of God, but she was so concerned about her husband, and she so much wanted him to respond to that invitation and to go forward and give his life to Jesus. And she brings forth this prophecy in a very emotional voice. You know that there is a person there, God is giving them their final call this night. And they needed to respond to this final call. If they did not respond this night, that it was all over for them, and so on. And I'm sitting there, and I had this awareness, even though I'm a young believer, that she was giving that prophecy for the benefit of her husband, to her husband. But it wasn't from the Spirit of God. She was trying to control the situation. Now, I believe innocently. She was trying to control that situation and doing it with a prophecy. And instead of turning to him and maybe pleading with him to go forward, she hides behind a thus saith the Lord. Oh, my friends, be alert for people who will try to use prophecy to control you and to control others. That is not what it's about. I had a missionary to Mexico tell me about he was invited to come to a meeting at a this was in Mexico. A friend of his pastored a church, and this friend of his had invited him to come and be on the staff and work in that church. And he had prayed about it, and he had made the decision that he didn't believe that that was what God wanted him to do. And so he goes there. And they have invited a well-known minister who claims to be a prophetess. If I spoke her name, most of you'd probably know her name, but I'm not going to, because this is not about people. I don't want you reacting to people. This is about issues. This is about truth, walking in truth. And so he was telling me this missionary to Mexico, a mature believer in the Lord, a mature minister of Christ. And he said the pastor and the staff, before the service began, and from what I remember, he was going to be speaking in some of the services, that the pastor called him and this visiting so-called prophetess and some of his staff together to pray. And so he doesn't really know this prophetess, but he suspects that the pastor had shared with her about him, that this other person that was going to be speaking, his friend of his, and how he had invited him to be on the staff, and probably he desired him to be, and so on. But anyway, here's what happened. He said she brings forth this prophecy to him that God is calling him to come and be a part of that ministry. And he said he left that meeting feeling so oppressed and depressed, and so on. And he said, it didn't lift off of me until I rebuked the spirit behind that prophecy. I rejected the prophecy, and I rebuked that spirit, which was a spirit of control. I rebuked it, and he said, immediately that all lifted off of me, and I had peace once again. My friends, you see, here's the thing. The gifts of the Holy Spirit flow through fallible human vessels. That is why every time that Paul speaks about the gift of prophecy, he includes an admonition to judge the prophecy or to test the prophecy. And John 4:1 tells us, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And in so many situations, it's not that the person is a false prophet. They're just a mistaken, maybe a wannabe prophet. Just like the fellow, you've heard me probably tell this, who considered himself a prophet and prophesied to me that I didn't have to be worried about my little brother any longer because God had revealed to him my little brother was only going to be saved. The only problem was I didn't have a little brother. And so when I shared this with him privately, he was very embarrassed, and he said, "Well, I'm going to have to be more careful." But he wasn't. The very next day, I saw and heard him giving prophecies to people about how God was calling them to this nation or that nation, and I just shook my head and thought, for the sake of those people there, I hope you don't just accept this carte blanche. I hope you test what you're hearing. And so, folks, yes, we believe in the prophetic. We want the move of the Holy Spirit in this hour. But don't ever allow yourself to become subject to somebody's prophecy. God wants to lead you from within, and he will lead you and guide you. They that are led by the Spirit, Paul said, these are the children of God. I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast, and I'll probably just pick this up tomorrow. And check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. Check out my book, Prophets and Prophecy. Will help you tremendously in this area, Prophets and Prophecy. It's available on our website bookstore, eddiehyatt.com. It's also available on Amazon, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.